Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
Hey, Star Wars fans, welcome back to Star Wars Hangout. Lottie and I are continuing the Rebels rewatch. Now, the following episodes were pre-recorded this past summer. We are now posting all of Season 1 here on Star Wars Hangout. If you have thoughts on Rebels Season 2, get those transmissions in ASAP, and we'll feature you on the show. Thanks for listening, and may the Force be with you. Hey, Star Wars fans, welcome back to A Galaxy Far, Far Away. I'm your host, Ezra, the Flannel Space Wizard, Y-Wing Enthusiast, call sign Gold Leader. We are back with our Rebels rewatch. Today we are discussing Season 2, Episode 1, Siege of Lothal. But before we dive into the episode, let's check in with my trusty Padawan learner, the Princess of Brightree Village, my wonderful co-host and yours, Lottie.
Meow, 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 meow. Meow.
I think we annoyed so many people with that. I don't know where that came. How are you doing, sweetie?
Good. Thank you. Thanks for joining us on our Rebels rewatch today. I'm good. I got back into my routine of working on my art skills. So,
ooh, let's go.
That's fun. For a couple of weeks, we just had so much to do. You know, that's when life gets in the way and you just have to procrastinate even on the things that you love doing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm glad I'm back and you got home early. I always love when you get home early.
Yeah.
From work.
Yeah.
So it's a good day. How are you, sweetie?
It's good. I'm glad that I did get home early and we're doing this. We're back into Season 2. We're going to try to squeeze all of Season 2 in before Kenobi. We'll see how that works. If we can get it all done or not, because we are hyped for that show. But just excited. I think we got a couple more weeks of school. We've got graduation stuff coming up. You know, it gets kind of busy here towards the end of the school year for me. And but it's nice. It's nice to kind of, you know, dive into Star Wars, especially like Season 2. The start of this was pretty good. I think this was a pretty good start to our like Season 2. Like Season 1 was good. We got through it. You've seen it all. You've watched it. So like I'm excited for you to experience Season 2, and you can tell it's like a step up, right?
It's the next level. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, we went from like the Grand Inquisitor to, okay, that wasn't enough. So now we have Darth Vader. Koba. Like, it's crazy. It is crazy. It's so cool. And I love that. Like, actually, after the reason we kind of hummed that song To start, is like, I think we were doing it right afterwards. You're just like, dun, 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 dun. And I'm like, isn't it catchy? It like, yes. Just kind of like.
It just happens in our house that we start humming something and the other one joins
I'm worried though, because what I wanted you to be humming was like, dun, 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 which is like the, when they're fighting, like the, like that kind of song, or like, dun, 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 dun. But instead, you went to the Imperial March. I was like, oh, crap.
What does that
she
tell you?
She is being corrupted. About me. I'm so nervous. no, but okay. So let's dive in here. We've seen both episodes. So we saw episode one and episode two. We're going to separate them in two different discussions. And I think if you can, we'll kind of pull up the episode, go through some of your notes. And then just sort of talk about this because it's great. It's got Vader in it and it's awesome.
Yeah.
All right. So season two, episode one, on the orders to hunt down the rebels and especially the Jedi among them, Darth Vader begins to oppress, the Lothal people to find the group. So the Ghost crew start working with a wider rebel cell. They're divided between joining the large network and waging. Yeah. Yeah, open war on the Empire and staying out of a large-scale fight. The situation is even more complicated when Minister Tua, fearing punishment for a failure to neutralize the Lothal rebels, tries to defect to them in order to escape Vader, offering several truths behind why the Emperor wants the planet. However, Vader uses this to his advantage and orchestrates Tua's murder by a shuttle explosion and frames the rebels for the act and thus turning Lothal's populace against them, right? So the crew try to flee but are cornered by Vader, who injures Kanan and Sabine and nearly kills Ezra before they finally escape. So I think we're going to stop right there because we'll kind of the next part of this summary will have to do more with episode two.
Yeah.
Okay. Wow. Right. So I think the big thing, just I want to mention before I get your initial reaction here, is that in sort of a recap, we were our own rebel cell. Like we had the Spectre group, we had our Ghost crew, and we were just doing our own thing. Kanan says in this episode that they were robbing from the Empire to give to those in need, sort of, right? So now that was the smaller rebel cell, and Ezra thought it was cool. We're our own cell, like we're like this unit, you know? And we're seen as this group that's out there rebelling, and so, you know. And now it's like, okay, you're going to work under a larger group. And we see a lot of those tensions and struggle, you know, because now you're like, okay, you're part of a chain of command. And now you fit into a larger system and you have generals and, you know, commanders that are above you. And how do you deal with that? Kanan in particular struggles with
that. Yeah, he's acting a little weird in this episode.
Yeah. So, but what were your just kind of initial thoughts, initial takeaways from this episode?
Yeah, I thought it was really cool that we join a bigger group of rebels now and they're part of the fleet. And I know Kanan doesn't really approve of that. I'm not sure why. Is it mentioned here? Does he have a certain like history with them?
Okay, that's a good question. So he actually has, and it's real subtle. See, this is the thing too. In a short episode, in 20 minutes or whatever, they jam a lot in, but it goes so quick. That's why I really think Rebels is deserving of a rewatch, because he says he was once a part of a war. He's been a part of a larger group. And so he doesn't really want to. He likes this sort of, I have my family, I have my group, we're mom and dad and the kids. You know what I mean? And does he want to join up with a larger group? Mm-hmm. He's done that before.
Yeah.
And lost everything. So
yeah,
I think it's something like in his past that he fears, you know?
Yeah, and they could even say, if you're part of a larger group, they could even say, hey, we need Zeb here. So they're going to take Zeb, do something else. And they're not going to, like, they don't know Zeb as well. Or even Hera. They take Hera or Ezra. They say, hey, we need you here. You're part of this big picture now. Let's go here. And he's like, yeah, they won't take care of them as well as we do.
Yeah, right.
We're a group and we want to continue being a group. And he enjoyed being
calling their own shots, kind of, too, right?
Yeah, you know? Doing good on a smaller scale.
Right.
But, okay.
Well, okay, no, that makes sense, right? So if you and I are working in a unit and all of a sudden, like, we're a good team and I'm concerned about your safety and stuff like that, what if you're ordered, right, by someone above me to go on a separate solo mission.
Yeah.
I don't know if I'd like that, right? Yeah. No, I want to go. I want to go with her. We're we're family. We're whatever. Mm-hmm. And that would suck.
Yeah.
Right. So because they are kind of they have become kind of a family.
Right.
And it's cool. You know, the rebellion is also this larger group. Everyone has to sort of play their part. But at what point do you draw the line?
Yeah.
And Kanan has gotten real close ties and bonds with everyone in this group, especially Hera. And now he's got an apprentice, Ezra. And yeah, you know, so you really do feel like you could be ordered to go here or to go there and to do that. And it,
yeah.
even though they are still allowing them to work together because they're a good unit, you're a good group. Mm-hmm. And like even in the Clone Wars and in different times, like if you were a good unit in combat, you would just send this whole unit on an objective.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes when you have to call shots where you're going to divide them up, I think, yeah, it would make it harder. You're kind of like, okay, if we choose that ourselves, that's one thing. But now we're being split, and it's because someone else is telling us we need to split up or whatever.
Yeah, you don't have control over it anymore.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So.
Yeah, and what I also liked about this episode was that we get, I mean, at least I got surprised a little bit how Vader knows everything, really.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah.
Oh wait.
He does. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, you're right. He knows everything that's going on.
Yeah. And I was just wondering how did he like can he kind of see the future or
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that's in this. That's they actually say in this first episode, everything is sort of going to plan.
Right.
And even if it was like in the beginning part of the second episode, doesn't matter. It's mm-hmm. it's all really close. This is a to be continued episode. So mm-hmm. you know, it's actually, here we go. Couple connections. I like to find these Easter eggs. Darth Vader is saying that when I think it's Agent Kallus comes to him and says, like, everything is going as you have predicted or as you have foreseen. And it's mm-hmm. sort of a nod to Return of the Jedi. When Emperor Palpatine says himself that, like, everything is going as I have foreseen.
Yeah.
So Vader is doing that very thing here. He's, like, almost predicting events and using what he knows about the rebels, what he knows about Minister Tuah, fear, anger, hate. Mm-hmm. He understands how those emotions can move people.
Yeah.
And so that's very telling. But then also he has the Force.
Yeah.
You know, he can also just sort of tell. He has premonitions. He can somewhat see the future.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, he is definitely using that.
Yeah.
One more quick thing at the very, very beginning of this, I like to point these things out. It's like in the first 30 seconds, they're out there with Phoenix Squadron, which this is really when they become a part of this larger unit, known as Phoenix Squadron, which mm-hmm. which you like, and you thought the name was really cool and it's awesome. But I think it's Phoenix One. Says he's like they're in a fight, like mm-hmm. a starfighter fight,
right?
And he says, I'm going to try and cut across their access, right? Which he did just one line where he's like I'm going to cut across their access, and we all us Star Wars fans who have seen episode 4 for years would say, and try and draw their fire, because it was like to finish that line. That's a line from episode 4. He's like, I'm going to try and cut across their access, and then like I'm going to try and draw their fire by cutting across their access. Either way, like it's, I forget how he says it in this episode, but that's what that's sort of alluding to.
That's
Which is really cool. It's one of my favorite moments in episode 4, and it's something that I think makes Star Wars. I think Star Wars has such a good build up in episode 4, like Star Wars or A New Hope, whatever you want to call it, where when they are attacking the Death Star and those fighters are, it's like, you know, Red Group, right? They're all calling in, they're all checking in. Red 5, you know, Red 3, whatever. They're all fighters are reporting in. And as they start to make their attack, like, the music hits and Red Leader says, he tells everyone that they're going to try to free up room for the Y-Wings, for Gold Squadron to make their attack run.
Yeah.
He's like, we will cut across their access.
Yeah.
Their axis. Let me make sure I get that right. And try and draw their fire. Like, he's going to cut across this way and they'll see us. We're going to draw the fire mm-hmm. this way. You go this way.
Yeah.
And I mean, it's a little thing, but it's one of those moments in Star Wars where I'm like, okay, like the Red Group is taking the heat so they can make the bombing run because their S-foils are locked in attack position. It's go time, you know, like it's just an awesome moment. And I anybody who sees that, like you just can't help but to go, all right, let's go. Like the, like things are warming up. So in this episode, there was a callback to that, and I thought it was really cool. So
yeah, I love that you can make those connections. That's really cool.
Yeah. So sorry, something there. So did you have any other questions too? I don't want to skip past anything because anything that kind of came up. And if I talk about it and you wanna bring it up, you just
ahead. So I just thought it's cool that we get to see there's levels even within the Empire.
Right. Yeah.
That like what's her name?
Minister Tua.
Yeah, she's not comfortable with the methods that Vader pulls off here.
No. And that's so she's fearing for her life. Mm-hmm. And whether she was going to be killed or anything, we're not really sure. But clearly the threat, like her what she was willing to do for the Empire only went up to a certain extent.
Yeah.
Right? And so then she's sort of like, Vader knows that he can threaten her by, you're going to go to Tarkin, and she'll call out to the rebels. Like, he knows that, and that mm-hmm. happens. So you'll see that a lot of times, like, they start to figure out, okay, what are we actually doing? Minister Tuat does say she knows why Emperor Palpatine wants Lothal. It's, and then they say, oh, we already know. Like, the factory. We get it. Mm-hmm. Like, you're going to take our resources, you're going to strip the planet, and whatever. And she was like, no. That is not it. And she is killed.
It was Ezra, wasn't it?
Is it Ezra? So are you asking me that question? Yeah. I don't know. I can't say. I can't say. I would say this, that right now the Jedi are of interest, right? They mm-hmm. definitely are of interest to, especially at the end of the second episode. We'll talk about that. But like even like right now, prior to season two and at the start of this episode, the Inquisitors they've been alerted to a Jedi mm-hmm. in this unit. And then maybe there's an apprentice or whatever that gets reported back. Vader and his group are interested. And it's sort of like, okay, are they just one of many other Jedi, or not many, but like a handful that have slipped by and they're just kind of cleaning stuff up, right?
Yeah.
That's sort of where it is with Ezra and Kanan mm-hmm. right now.
Okay.
So I guess I could almost say to you that maybe it's something more.
Okay.
And this is what, because I actually like that. You would think that mm-hmm. it's just Ezra, right? It's Ezra. And I think you're supposed to think that. Mm-hmm. And you're not wrong, too. That's the other thing, is that there's layers. Mm-hmm. You were talking about the layers in the Empire, right? The different, you know, Tua and then Agent Callus and Vader, mm-hmm. the Inquisitors. There's all sorts of the great hierarchy there. Inside this show and what's coming up and the breadcrumbs that are laid by Dave Filoni, there are layers.
Yeah.
And so you're kind of in this to start season two, they're kind of revealing a layer to you. And it's cool. And little tiny hints like that with Minister Tua.
Okay.
Because then you'll go through a couple filler episodes, which is fine. We're going to have some pretty simple, chill, just sort of building our characters episode mm-hmm. that's coming up. But right now, when they start the season, they give you big stuff. So mm-hmm. like episode one and two is pretty significant.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Yeah.
Yes, when Vader shows up, right?
Uh-huh.
At the end, he reveals himself to Ezra and Kanan.
Right.
And I'm like, how are they going to get out of there?
Because
mm-hmm. you kind of know that Ezra and Kanan are no match for him.
No match.
Yeah.
No match. That's, I know you were feeling that at the end of episode one. Mm-hmm. And it's like immediately all it is it's him standing and igniting his lightsaber. And you're like, does he do that a lot?
Yeah, because I remember you made a video.
Right.
Like, a TikTok video. Yeah. Yeah. Of him when he just went crazy and killed all the... Oops.
Uh-oh. You okay?
I killed my coffee.
Aw. you just lightsabered your coffee. What is wrong?
Now, who did he kill in the video?
So that was at the end of Rogue One. So I had you watch Rogue One, right? And it's at the end of that video. He is trying to... I mean, you've seen it now. So you know Jyn Erso dies. And Cassian Andor, they got the plans off. And they're trying to get them to Leia. And mm-hmm. it's some of her sort of Alderaan guard.
Right, like and they barely make it. Barely. It's like a split second later.
And they hand it off to the...
Yes.
Oh.
That was a great scene.
Yeah, it's crazy. And that's right before episode four. So I always like to remind Lottie and anyone who is, again, kind of new to Star Wars, that like that just for timeline, because understanding the Star Wars timeline is important because they just will, they'll do something here and the Mandalorian's over here and then these books are back there and it's crazy. So yeah, that's a really, really good point. But yeah, he ignites his lightsaber and he's just standing there in the dark and then boom, it comes on. So in this, he's just standing there at first and then ignites his lightsaber.
Yeah.
It's awesome. And the crazy thing, I think this, I have to check the release dates on stuff. I think Rebels came out either right around that time or before or whatever, but it's really just sort of cool to see. That's a mannerism that Vader has. Yeah.
Yeah. So. And I also like that they try and whenever they can, they bring in the original actors' voices, right? For the
yeah, absolutely.
And
absolutely.
They try to really portray the characters like Tarkin or Vader. Mm-hmm. Or they really look like the actor. I mean, from Vader, you don't really see the actor.
Well, no, but yeah, they look. But, he looks just like exactly. And then you've got the like the voices sound the same. All of that. Yeah.
Because that's important to fans.
Oh, for sure it is. For sure. If it sounded totally different and it was a completely different feel, then then we would be kind of, I don't know. So, yeah, it's important that like Lando and that, you know, Darth Vader and Palpatine, right, that they all sound the same.
Yeah.
So, for sure. Okay. So, now, just in this episode, I'm kind of clicking through here. They go to rescue Minister Tua. They're willing to risk it for her and everything.
Yeah.
And this plan does not go the way that it should. You actually see Ezra when he lands on Lothal. This is his home world. And he looks up and he realizes there's an increase in Imperial Star Destroyers. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Right? He's like, wow, there's a lot more here. Like something else is going on. And so then you also got that tidbit from Minister Tua. Something is going on with Lothal. Right?
Yes. And I think when we get to see the city, wherever, what's the city? The capital of Lothal, I guess.
Yeah, yeah. Where they just, I don't actually know.
Yeah. They just walk through the streets there. And you can see there's not much going on. And they said, 1800? So it's probably 6 o'clock. If they have the same time as we have, I don't really know. But if it's 6 o'clock at night, I don't know. Like, I would expect more people on the roads, but there's no one.
Right, so there's curfews and stuff. So it is called, it's just called Lothal City.
Okay.
Right, so the capital city is known as Lothal City. It was the main population center and capital of Lothal, which is cool. Yeah, the concept art for it, by the way, is really cool. I'll have to show you this in a second.
Yeah. But like, okay.
It almost looks like Emerald City from Wizard of Oz, but a white version. And yeah, they've got the nice dome feature that is letting us know that we're back to Lothal. Mm-hmm. So yeah. But yeah, the people are definitely oppressed here and are not out, you know, after curfew and stuff.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. So and so once this doesn't go, so Minister Tua is killed and it's a setup to make the rebels look bad, right? They are now, we're leading the people to believe that they are assassins. You know, what was really cool about the end of season one and what gets under Tarkin's skin is they use that communication tower to broadcast their signal to say, hey, we're the good guys. We're doing a good thing. And then boom, season two hits and they're killing, they're assassinating, air quote, assassinating Minister Tua.
That's a very smart strike.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That basically you might as well, this is the Empire Strikes Back essentially.
Yeah.
So yeah. Let me see here. Yeah, they come up with a plan to kind of steal an Imperial shuttle, right? So they want to steal this shuttle to get off of off world. There's a really cool moment where Kanan and Ezra use a Jedi mind trick. Remember that when Ezra's trying to use the Jedi mind trick?
Oh yeah. Like, yeah.
He's like, "You will let us pass or whatever."
I got this.
He's like, "I got this one. You know, watch out." And then Kanan says, he's like, wow. And then he's like, wow, why doesn't that work for me? He's like, I wish it worked on you.
Right? Yeah.
Kanan, once he gets it to work, it's kind of funny. Funny moment. And then, yeah, so they infiltrate all of that. This is what it was. They find these shield generators, which is pretty cool. So they're always trying to find materials and fuel or extra resources that they can kind of steal and use for the rebellion. So they found the shield generators. They get them on their shuttle. They steal the Imperial shuttle. And we're not to that part yet. So they are just now going to kind of load them up. And then you have Ezra and Kanan sense something.
Yeah.
He says, do you feel that? The cold. Mm-hmm. They feel it as some cold force. And then boom, there's Vader right at the end with his lightsaber. Kind of the fog or the mist is surrounding him, which is cool. And then here comes all the stormtroopers. And they're going to get the shield generators on that ship. And boom, it says to be continued. And just stop right there. So this is where we're going to have to pick up in the next episode.
I wonder if J.K. Rowling draws some inspiration from Vader for the Dementors.
I mean,
because they're
honestly,
cold, he breathes like that.
I think a lot of I think a lot of people. So George Lucas does draw a lot of inspirations from other different creators, mythologies, and things like that. I think it's hard in the day and age that we live in now to not be influenced by Star Wars in some way, or even those very mythologies or those hero arc stories. It's like you're all kind of pulling something and repurposing it and trying to put a little spin, a little. Something different to it, and it's cool.
And it's not I read somewhere, don't worry, because when you're a creator or an artist, you're trying to be original. You don't want to just copy other people's stuff, but they say you're always going to be influenced by some other artist, other creator that you really like, and you just do your own spin on it, and that's okay. It's okay to learn from other people and draw inspiration from them, and if you like it, especially if you like it, because chances are high that other people will like it then.
Yeah. Oh, for sure. I mean, even when I think about things that I have to say about Star Wars, a lot of them do match up or line up with some Star Wars fans. Some of them it doesn't. They're like, as I'm like, not like with you on that or whatever. But that's what's cool, is everyone has their own take. So it can be individual, but then a lot of us have shared sort of thoughts and different, and it depends on your experiences, your walk of life, all that kind of stuff. So it's really cool. That's why I love fandoms and I love community, and I love to see other people create and do their interpretation of something.
Right. Yes.
But it may still look very similar to somebody else's, but it's got a slight, whatever, edge to it.
That's why we love fan art or fan fictions. It's the same characters, but it's somebody else's spin on it. And I love that.
Right, exactly. Well, one of the things that's coming up, I talk about Ralph McQuarrie a lot. He's a concept artist for Star Wars. Mm-hmm. And it's like they took a lot of his ideas and said, that's what his job was, is to make the concept art.
Yeah.
But then it's really cool to see how they took something that he did, and like George Lucas and other people, other artists will come in and say, okay, or even the costume designers, and they're like, okay, this is what we can do that looks a lot like that.
Yeah.
We can't do exactly that, but we can do this. How's that look? And then, it's just cool. It's just a really, really cool process, I think. So, oh gosh. All right. So there we go. That is, that is season 2, episode 1. I think our bigger talk, we're going to roll right into this, is going to be Season 2, Episode 2. We're going to get right into it here in just a second. So, but friends, we're going to leave you there for now as we continue our Rebels rewatch. We love you. And I'm telling you right now, like, this is the month, sweetie. Last week was May the 4th, be with you. Revenge of the 5th, Return of the 6th. I don't actually know if that's true or not. I just make those up. I don't really know if those are actually... I know Revenge of the 5th is a thing, but I always want, like, the 6th to be something. And then the 7th and 8th and 9th. By the way, there is somebody out there who knows like more of those names and dates for the different, numbers that we can tie them into four sayings. Like, let me know, because I've always been trying to expand on that.
Yeah.
I feel like every day in May should just be have some slogan or saying, so we can just
kind of... That would be cool. If there's somebody who's really creative with language and numbers and stuff, that would be cool.
Right. And you know something from Star... Like, that would be sick. Because my students today were like, Mr. Kirk, you still wearing a Star Wars shirt? I'm like, it's like Star Wars month, guys.
It's like Star Wars day for him every day. So
Why
do we even ask?
Right, exactly. So, anyway. All right, friends. Hey, be sure to follow us. Don't forget to check out our podcast, Shell Cottage Radio. You can follow us, though, at Fleur and Bill. You can follow Lottie at Charlotte Sue. And you can follow me at Womprat_2M. Check out the TikToks. We got a lot of things going on with our shorts over on TikTok. Matt is also doing a lot of stuff at Super Gains Bros. So, be sure to check that out, too. And we've got more and more content coming for you guys. And as I've been watching this stuff, I have a couple, like, next episode, got a Kenobi connection for you, so hang in there and we'll talk about it then. So
just wanted to say real quick, congratulations on 4.91k subscribers on your YouTube channel.
I know. Shout out. If you guys haven't had a chance to go check out the YouTube channel, check it out. We've been doing short videos over there. People seem to like those. We've been making compilations and stuff. Matt and I are trying to kind of up the game over there. It's great. It's a lot of fun, and it's cool to see the community kind of grow and stuff. So, we'll see how that works out for Kenobi and everything, but it's neat for sure. So, all right, friends, thanks so much. Thanks for listening. Please like, please subscribe. And as always, may the Force be with you.
Juicy.
Bye. Bye. Goodbye.
No, I can't do it.
Oh, try it. Deep.
Bye. What?
Do that again.
It really hurts.
Bye.
Bye. Wow. I didn't know you could go that deep.
Well, oh I don't. Gosh. I whisper it, and it's just my throat. Like. It hurts.
You have to cough afterwards. All right. Yeah. Sorry. All right. Woo. Hey friends, thanks for listening to this week's episode. Don't forget to subscribe to the podcast, leave us that review, check out our extra episodes on Patreon and Apple Premium. This is the way.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Coriant. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of plan, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.